what piqued your interest in ghosts, specifically those in Appalachia?
Well, mountain people are storytellers, first of all. And I grew up listening to my grandmother and my father tell ghost stories. And they'd tell stories like the Big Toe and Rawhead and Bloody Bones and the Golden Arm. And I just absolutely loved it. I'd beg them every time I could to hear these stories. So as I got older, I had children, and I would tell them stories. And they loved it. And my wife's a teacher. And what I would do is when I had an opportunity, I was a lobbyist, and I worked right in town most of the time in Frankfort where she taught. And I would come by her classroom and tell the kids ghost stories. Didn't matter if it was Halloween or what. And they just absolutely loved to hear it. And grown-ups like to hear them, too. I still tell ghost stories when I do speaking engagements. I'll tell the Big Toe to adults, and some of them will jump higher than the children.
Is there something unique or specific about ghost stories from the Appalachian region that differentiate them from those of other parts of the country?
I think so. I think they're a little creepier. They deal with not necessarily just ghosts, like the Big Toe, for example. Almost everybody in the mountains has heard a version of the Big Toe, and it's about a monster. It's not about a ghost. Everybody will have a little different version, but it's still the same story. And I think a lot of the stories are more eerie than just sightings of ghosts. They're about unusual events taking place. And for example, my great grandmother died. I was probably 8 or 9 years old. Well, back then they had the funeral right in the house, and they propped her up, her casket lid open in the living room, and the women draped black lace all around that coffin. And I'm telling you what, I was scared to death. I would not walk in the room. And we had firsthand experience with death. People would have the dead right there in the house. And some still do that, not very many. We had a lot of old outbuildings, barns, the hills. They have an aura of mystery about them. And so, yeah, I think mountain ghost stories are a little different.
Do you happen to know if the origins of many of the famous Eastern Kentucky ghost stories are from a similar period of time? Do they originate kind of close to each other, or are they a bit spread out?
I'm thinking a lot of these stories go back probably 150 years. I would guess somewhere around the Civil War. The mountains weren't really populated that much until, like Jackson, where I'm from, example, was 1839. And there weren't that many people. But around the Civil War, there would have been quite a few people. And so I'm guessing that's probably the when a lot, once we got a lot of people and a lot of families, we didn't have a lot of entertainment. And so storytelling was how people would while away the hours in the evening, especially.
It just struck me when you talked about having funerals inside the house and how death was in many ways so close to people many years ago. I just wonder if that's why so many of these creepy ghost stories have such an element of real terror to them, and if stories that originate today might be lacking some of that.
I think they are. First of all, they're just blood and gore. When you go to a movie or you hear a story now, it's just all about murder and slashing people up. And those weren't about that. It was about creepy stuff. My dad used to tell about something that would, there was a place called the Sweet Gum Ford, and it's where you would cross the creek, ford the creek. And on one side of the creek, there was a great big sycamore tree, and on the other was a big sycamore tree. And if you rode a mule across that at night, something would come down out of that first big sycamore tree and walk across the creek with you, and it would lay its head over on your leg. And it had the head of a mule and the body of a man. And so, that's just creepy. I'm sorry. It's just weird and creepy and not something you want to happen at all. And it really makes your mind wonder, about what could it be, how could that happen, and can it happen? So, yeah, I think there's a huge difference in the old-time stories and the newer ones.
I think the scariest ghost stories are the ones that tell you just enough information to where you can fill in the rest inside your own brain. And usually what we imagine is much more terrifying than when someone just shows it to us.
Yeah, it is. And if, especially if you relate it to something people can understand. Like one I tell about is, it's called The Golden Arm. And it's about an old janitor. And, you know, I'll just describe an old-time janitor that everybody grew up knowing, you know, had all the keys, was friendly, and then something happened to him. And, you know, people that just, oh, the kids just can't hardly, they just start squirming because they know the janitors and they know people that were like that. And so it's, you know, if you can relate to it especially, I think it's even scarier.
What is it that continues to hold allure for people in these, frankly, really creepy, scary tales?
I think that's timeless. I think people love to be scared. They love stories. And I'm telling you, grown-ups like to hear stories as much as kids do. Because when I speak, I'll always end with the big toe. And their eyes are huge, and they're listening. And there's, you know, if you've got a decent storytelling voice, and a good style, you can just flat out hook people. They will love it. And I think that's something that as long as, I don't think TV will ever replace that, or telephones. I think if people can sit down and be told stories, they're going to always love it.
Do you have a brief excerpt of a story maybe that you're not planning on talking about at the McCracken County Public Library, a little teaser to get people hyped up for your presentation?
Yes. One of my favorites, and I've written a play about this, and it was produced a few years ago. Back in the 50s, my grandmother told me this happened to her. She told it as the absolute truth, that she was probably in her 40s then, and she and three other women were back up this holler in this house, and all the men folk were gone. They were gone taking the tobacco off, I think. But anyway, they were all back there by themselves. And it was about 11 o'clock at night, and they were all getting ready to go to bed, and they were sitting in the front room. And they said they heard somebody walk up on the front porch of the house, and they didn't know who it could be. They weren't expecting anybody. And then they had forgotten to lock the door. And they said all of a sudden that door just started to ease open. She said that a dirty, old, shabby man walked into the house, didn't look at them, didn't say a word, walked right on past them, went into the kitchen, and absolutely vanished. They went in there looking for him. They could not find him anywhere. And there was a stick up against the doorknob that kept anybody from getting in from the outside, and it was still up. So anybody that walked in there had to have, you couldn't have, if they went out the back door, they couldn't have put that stick back up. And my grandmother told me that as the absolute truth. And, oh, my goodness, my aunt lived in that house, and she would babysit for us when I was very little and tell that story, and it would scare us to death. And that's one of my absolute favorites, is that particular story.
The hair on my arm is standing on end. Well, is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to make us aware of before you give your presentation at the McCracken County Public Library?
Depending on who it is, if it's kids, I'm going to tell stories. If it's more adults, I'll tell the kids a few stories, and then I'll try to read a couple. I've got two books, one a memoir of my life growing up, and I usually read a story of me going to church, and I was a Presbyterian boy in an evangelical Baptist world. And that was interesting. So I'll probably read one of those stories and give you a good feel of what it was like to go to an evangelical Baptist church back in the late 70s and early 80s. You know, I think they'll find it very interesting to see how people live 7 hours to the east of them.